A welcome back into Hawks Huddle, episode 4 here as we flip the calendar. New month here into December. 2020 keeps rolling on here. What a wild year it's been, but thanks for tuning back in here to Hawks Huddle. Mark Kaskinet here, joined by Jacqueline as always. How are you, Jacqueline?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Trying to stay warm through all of this snow so far. It's a busy time of year for a lot of people. Hopefully everybody's doing well, doing okay, doing a lot better, hopefully, than Nate Robinson over this past week.
Oh, my gosh.
As you have your Knicks hat on there, former New York Knick. I think we're going to start right off the top there. We'll start because that seems what everybody wants to either joke around about or talk about. It was a serious or a pretty high-profile boxing card on Saturday night that a lot of people had seen. Obviously, Jake Paul and Nate Robinson had a match, as well as the baddest man on the planet, Mike Tyson, back in action as well. Did you see some of that, Jacqueline? I'm sure you did.
Yeah, so I've been following Jake's little journey in boxing. I hate saying this, but 3 years ago, I loved watching Jake Paul and Logan Paul. I was one of those kids that I like. I don't think my friends really knew. I kind of like hid it from people that I loved watching Jake Paul when I was in like grade 10. So I've kind of been following. I'm not really a big fan of him anymore, just because he's done a lot of things that are a little bit questionable. And I also got a little bit older and I kind of matured out of that kind of stuff, but I do watch Logan's podcast a lot. But with Jake, I've been following this, you know, this fight, and I expected Nate to win. I'm going to be honest with you. Jake's only fought YouTubers. Nate never fought anyone though, but he is an athlete. He's an NBA athlete.
But Jake has, so you've kind of followed it a bit, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I know who Jake Paul is. I've seen some of the things that he's done that you were saying. He's had a couple of fights before, you were saying, right? But just stars.
Yeah. They were just against YouTubers, and you know, he's been documenting his whole journey in fighting, but I just didn't see anything. I don't see him as a real athlete, just because he's never actually fought anyone who is considered a pro boxer. It's only been YouTube fights.
Until he met Nate Robinson, like you're saying, on Saturday night, and that's why you were thinking Nate was going to win. Like Nate Robinson knocked out by Jake Paul, and that got a lot of people kind of on Jake Paul though too, because of some of his antics and things. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you saw some athletes, Evander Kane, called him out, challenged him to a fight. He just kind of, I think it's just because, you know, he really comes off as if he's a tough guy, right? And I mean, the thing is, Jake Paul would never ever win a fight. I mean, this is still Nate Robinson, who, like you said, has never fought before.
No,
he's a basketball player, one of the shortest basketball players,
right?
Like Jake Paul, realistically, he would get killed in the ring going up against any real professional boxer.
Right. No, but like even just with this fight, you know, I don't know if Nate really would have won, but I was not expecting a knockout, first of all. You know, Jake winning, you know, in the at the last round, just for whatever that could, that, you know, I thought would probably happen, but a second round knockout, and then he knocked him out. Like, social media went crazy. Twitter, Steph Curry tweeting, every NBA basketball is tweeting. They're heartbroken seeing this. I think this just shocked everybody that it was a knockout, and it looked like Nate died right there. He hit him, and I'm like, oh my gosh, is he okay? He wasn't moving.
I know it's going to be one of the better memes of it, right? One of the more common and used memes, just him on the ground. I mean, he was, like knocked right out by Jake Paul. And that just gives Jake Paul so much more confidence. And then he's going to be so much more full of himself. So.
Right. And now he wants to fight McGregor, which, like, I think he'll get knocked out with one punch. But who knows? Maybe Jake is actually this really talented boxer that will become a famous boxer. Who knows? Like, he's done a lot of things. He's doing music now, and his music isn't terrible that it used to be. That he's actually getting a lot of praise for his music. But I think he has a lot of ghostwriters.
Okay. Yeah.
But
Yeah, no, I was just gonna say here too, like he, it's just, that was, is one of the fights that many people tuned in to watch, and it was the more remarkable fight, like between two guys who have, I mean, Jake Paul, like you said, he's fought before, but like never really had a serious fight, and then Nate Robinson, who, like you said, everybody on Twitter and the NBA world jumped in and had their opinion and thoughts on it, because he was a pretty popular basketball player himself. So it was, it's just crazy. Like you said, like, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how the whole career, I guess, of Jake Paul kind of works out, because a lot of people have them on their radar now, really, really looking at him. So, and talking about him. The other fight that went on that night was Mike Tyson and Roy Jones. Mike Tyson, of course, everybody knows of all the things Mike Tyson has done and his actual pretty successful professional boxing career back in the 80s and the 90s. He was back in action to fight Roy Jones, and that ended up in an 8-round draw. So I saw that it broke some records for pay-per-view purchases and things like that. And all everybody got out of it was a draw. So kind of deflating there.
Right. But, yeah, that kind of sucks. But
yeah. But other than that, I mean, that's that, you know, boxing is always a sport that you don't hear about too much. And then you get, you know, some of these cards that are really, really big. And this one was a notable one for sure. And that's why everyone was talking about it. So really interesting to see. Hopefully Nate Robinson is doing all right. I know he was doing okay and tweeted out as well after it. As we'll switch up here to the NFL really quickly here. We usually are pretty football dominated. We'll do a quick recap of some of the things that happened this past week. The Giants got a huge win and lead the NFC East now, although it did come at a cost, as your quarterback, Daniel Jones, he's a little bit hurt. What do you think about Colt McCoy and the chances of him maybe having to play only one or two games? I know that he avoided a big injury, Jones, but still.
Right. Yeah, I'm not happy about this injury at all, especially now that we're in first place. He hurt his hamstring. It's not as bad as they thought it would be, because at first they were all saying that it looked really bad, but they're only saying that he will probably be out against the Seahawks. I don't know if I'm really happy about Colt McCoy. He didn't really play great. I guess in the fourth quarter when he took over, but I know that we are looking at some other quarterbacks to join us. We need someone, I think, who has speed and who can run out of the pocket, because of our O-line. It has been better, but Daniel Jones is still getting rushed and he's still having to move out. I think he's the most, I forget what the stat is, but he has to run out of the pocket, I think, more than any other player.
Right. So he's under pressure.
Yeah. He's under a lot of pressure. It's bad timing for sure for this injury, but as long as he gets healed up and we are playing against the Seahawks, who have been really good. They didn't look great though against the Eagles, but they are a really good team still. So this is a must win for the Giants. And I think our O-line just really needs to step up, and our receivers need to step up, and yeah, that's what we have to do.
Yeah, I know it is. The thing is that the Giants, who are first place, I mean, Washington plays Pittsburgh next week. And I'm pretty sure the Eagles or the Cowboys play the Ravens. And the Eagles, I'm pretty sure they have a pretty tough, the Eagles play the Packers. I'm pretty sure. So,
right.
I mean, the NFC East is probably going to keep getting these losses, continue to be completely 2020. Another 2020 thing happened with the Broncos this past week. Wow, what a situation that was. And what a, I mean, I just don't understand. I'm really still don't know how the NFL is really managing it, I guess, because, you know, the Broncos, it was their own error. You know, the fact that their four quarterbacks weren't wearing a mask, and that led to them being ineligible. So the NFL did not decide to cancel the game or even postpone the game to get any Broncos quarterbacks healthy. But then you look at this Ravens situation.
And it's today. Like, it's Wednesday at 3:40 they're playing. It's like, yeah. I don't know what that's about.
I still don't understand.
But with the Broncos, they had an undrafted rookie receiver as their quarterback. He only completed one pass, though. So it wasn't really the show people were looking forward to, I guess. But I have a lot of respect for him. Kendall Hinton, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I don't even know who he is. I'm sure most people didn't know who he was because he's an undrafted rookie wide receiver playing quarterback. I have a lot of respect for him for playing. Saints really should. I know that they won 31-3, but they really should have been able to you know, get a couple pick sixes and stuff. But a lot of respect. But it's just crazy that they had the game go on, but the Ravens are playing on a Wednesday.
It is absolutely crazy. We're recording this, and we'll touch on the Ravens game a little bit later, but just a little bit before the Ravens play in about an hour here, that game was moved three times. The Broncos playing with, like you said, their practice squad receiver called up, Kendall Hinton. No completions to a wide receiver, only one completion the whole game, only 13 passing yards for the Broncos, two picks. I think they had a fumble in there too. It was ugly, but you know what? Like, and I felt bad for him the whole game watching it.
Yeah.
And like you said, complete credit to him. This is not even his position, and he wasn't even on the team. And not only that, the hardest part was they didn't even get to practice for it. This news broke on Saturday, and the game was the day after. So it's not like the Broncos even really had any emergency situation or preparation there. It really caught them off by surprise. We're going to be getting into some bigger topics later on today throughout the podcast, do a little bit of a talk about the NCAA in general. So we'll quickly wrap up with the NFL here then. Ravens Steelers, like we said, they do play in an hour. Did you want to change your pick at all? We both had Steelers last week. We're both sticking with the Steelers.
RG3 I think I'm going to stick with the Steelers with RG3 playing. Steelers, I think they're going to go 11-0. They may even go undefeated this season, just looking at their schedule. They have a really easy schedule, which is another conversation about how I think they are a little bit overrated. Yes. But I am going to be picking them again today.
Yeah, for sure. I just wanted to see if maybe you had some faith in RG3 and the upset there. No, me neither. I'm going with the Steelers. Let's quickly talk about Brady here. Another big opportunity for the Buccaneers. They lost to the Chiefs 27-24 and gave up some video game numbers in the process of doing that. So it wasn't all just Brady. Brady didn't look good again, too. But that defense got just... wow. I mean, right. Tyreek Hill and Mahomes, wow.
In the first quarter, Tyreek Hill had over 200 yards and two touchdowns and a backflip in the end zone.
And a backflip, yep.
He ended the game with 269 yards and three touchdowns. It's like, are you kidding me?
Absolutely ridiculous. I mean, just running by Tampa all game.
Unbelievable. All game. And it's like, and with Brady, like he didn't have a terrible game. But the Chiefs are just a better team all around. Like they have more chemistry and no drama. And you know, Mahomes is much more comfortable with his team, while Brady clearly isn't. He didn't have a bad game, but he's not what you know we saw 2 years ago or last year with the Patriots.
Oh, of course, yeah. He's not the same. He tried to bring them back. You know, he had that touchdown to Mike Evans near the end. He tried to bring them back, but. He's not the same. We've talked about it over the past couple of weeks. He's not the same. And the Buccaneers, they're gonna really like they're I think in the last or second last wild card spot. So I know the Vikings and the Bears are still two games behind them. The Buccaneers will probably make the playoffs, but they don't look like they're gonna be making it far in the playoffs right now.
I don't think so.
Yeah, especially given the way that the Packers are looking, and the Saints are looking, and the Seahawks. Still winning. I know they didn't look great against the Eagles, like you said, but still winning. As week 12 wraps up today, like we mentioned, in about an hour with the Steelers and the Ravens, and then week 13 will begin. No Thursday night for week 13. It'll start on Sunday with the 1 o'clock games. Before we get into our talk about the NCAA, we'll stick with the NCAA. This was big news as well. We're going to talk a little bit about the Commodores. Who would have thought we'd talk about the Vanderbilt Commodores, but that's who we're talking about here. They made some history, Sarah Fuller becoming the first woman to play in a football game, in a Big Five, you know, conference NCAA football game. A huge moment for her. She took the second half kickoff.
Yeah, so I was watching that entire game hoping just to get a field goal. They ended up losing
Yeah.
41 nothing. They couldn't even get into field goal range. I'm like, I'm spending my Saturday watching this game. I'm flipping through a couple other games, but I'm keeping my out on eye out on this game, and they lose 41 nothing. They had one job for all the viewers. One job, just get into field goal range, please. But they didn't, unfortunately. We didn't really get to see her talent, because she actually is a great kicker. She So the reason why she played was because the soccer team just got back from winning the championship, and everyone was had to go home, right? There, because COVID shut down the school. Is that what happened?
Yeah, I believe so. And then the Vanderbilt team, they had some problems with their
Yeah,
kicker
they're,
as
yeah.
well, with COVID issues there. But yeah, I know she had just won, and good thing you bring that up too, because all the teammates on Vanderbilt called her champ because she had won. She was a big piece on that soccer team, and that's how she was onto the football team. Yeah.
Right. So it was, it's too bad we didn't really get to see anything, but it is still history, and maybe she'll want to become a kicker, or maybe she'll stay as a soccer player and play professionally with that. She has, I guess, options now, because, well, we didn't really get to see her talent really, but I'm sure she a lot of teams will be lo looking out for her.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. It's just groundbreaking. We talked about Kim Ang earlier, in a few other episodes. She had just made her first trade with the Marlins this past week as well. So already making moves. That was a groundbreaking hiring, and this is a groundbreaking moment. I know she only got, like you said, all they had to do was just get into field goal range, just get a field goal attempt. They were just so putrid, and they couldn't even do that. And they fired their coach after the game
Yeah,
too.
right after.
Vanderbilt's not a good team. They've
No.
lost 8 in a row.
Yeah.
So that's unfortunate to see. But seeing Sarah on the field, even getting to squib that kickoff, is great. And I mean, guess what? I was just reading an article earlier today too. She is the only kicker on the depth chart. So she is
Wow.
slated to play Saturday, this
Really?
Saturday as we speak. It's Wednesday.
Okay.
They might have some of their COVID kickers back. I don't know what the isolation is and all that, but as of right now, she is the only kicker on the depth chart. So she's slated to play this Saturday against Georgia. So maybe they'll get
Yeah.
into field goal range
I hope so.
with a new coach as well. She was also named the SEC Special Teams Player of the Week. Just really great to see. Like you said, I think this obviously has the whole NCAA and even the NFL and everybody obviously watching and seeing her talent, because she is for sure talented. As NCAA college basketball also started this past week, a lot of things going on in what would usually be a busy sports schedule, with NHL and NBA regular season going on and things like that, along with the NFL. But the NCAA also got their season kicked off, and as the NCAA, they're embarking on another season here. This one's going to be one like no other, as all the other leagues have found out. The problem still persists, and it's been a problem in college sports down in America for a really long time, about the money that they generate and how one-sided it is, and really the exploitation that has come out of the NCAA. I know they've made some rule changes, that they are supporting a rule change for players to profit off of their name and likeliness. But we wanted to delve into this topic a little bit and spend some time on this. I know you had a few things to say about this too, Jacqueline. So yeah, we'll just sort of kick off this topic, because it's a big one that has gone on for a long time.
Right, so like, I've always known about this whole you can't make money in the NCAA as a player, but I think it was last year. It was last year. I think beginning of last year, I watched this 2018 HBO sports documentary. LeBron James is one of the producers, and it's called Student Athlete, and it pretty much just touches upon, or it follows lives of s former student athletes, of student athletes who can't or who cannot make money. And there's one player that I wanted to touch on. He joined the Baylor football team as a walk-on with no scholarship, was receiving a money from, I think it was a friend or family, because he had no money because he was a walk-on.
Yeah.
And he they took away his sorry they let me see what it says. Yeah, so they pretty much kicked him out because he was making money somehow. Someone was giving him money, and pretty much he lost he's no longer able to play in college football because he was making money. He had no money. He was broke. He's now, I think, playing in Italy. So it followed, like, I haven't watched this film in a while, so I'm a rusty on it a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was heartbreaking, and it followed another player. He was a former NCAA football player. He describes paying more than $300 to get to Philadelphia to try out for a non-NFL professional league, but he says he hasn't eaten in 3 days because he hasn't been able to make money in college football. So pretty much what I just wanted to talk about is how these guys spend, let's say, 4 years. So if they're not kicked out of college sports for the as one of the Baylor football running backs was, let's say you stay for 4 years, you're able to get a scholarship, okay? For 4 years, you pretty much work for that whole, you work for a team. Let's say you play for Duke. You work for that team for 4 years. All you get pretty much is a tracksuit. You don't get any money whatsoever. You can't make money off autographs, off of signed jerseys, off of anything. So once their career is over, let's say an injury happens, your fourth year, let's say you're a superstar at Duke, then you tear your ACL and your career's over. Nothing happens after that. They're not going to give you any money.
No, and that's exactly, I think that's a good point that you make there at the end. I mean, there's there's nothing really that distinguishes the NCAA from the NFL or other big leagues that are paying their athletes. Of course, these bigger leagues do have more money, but the NCAA is still a $1 billion multi-billion dollar revenue generating sports league. Their March Madness, it's one of the biggest bet on sporting events all year long. Some of the TV deals, just if you do quick research on how big the NCAA is, it's huge. And that's why when we were talking to Coach Falds last week too, I mean, he says, TV deals is really the only reason why they're going on with the season. I mean, you have all these schools that are shut down and trying to get through outbreaks, and the NCAA is trying to push through with sports, right? So they're such a huge, huge industry, but they do it off of the backs of a completely unpaid workforce, right? I mean, unpaid. I mean, the student athletes are not able to profit. You just went through some of the stories of all these athletes making, all these sacrifices, essentially, just so they can continue their, sports career, and how they can't even keep themselves, healthy themselves, not being able to eat for 3 days or getting kicked out of the program, things like that. And that's why, like I said, when I kicked it off, it's complete exploitation, by the NCAA, the executives, the shareholders, not allowing these players to get any money.
Right. Yeah. So I think now there are new rules with, I think you're in some places, or maybe in the next upcoming years, they will be allowing players to sell sign autographs. But, I understand with not wanting to, it's a very weird conversation, and some people may disagree with some things, but it's you want to pay athletes the way you would in the NBA. So of course LeBron James is going to make more money, but then a guy who doesn't really play, who maybe gets 5 minutes per game, isn't going to make as much money. They should be doing that in college sports, or being allowed to sell your jerseys, because if you go online, you can easily order and Zion Williamson Duke t-shirt from when he was there. He's not making any money off of that, but now he will be, because he's in the NBA and he's a star. So they should be allowing, I think it should be the same as it would be in the NBA and NFL. You're still working for this team. You should at least make some sort of money. The NCAA is a $1 billion industry. Their coaches make millions of dollars.
And that too, you look at the coaches. I mean, it's such a big topic. We can sit here and talk about it and analyze so many things. When you look at the coaches, like Nick Saban, and Dabo Sweeney, and some of the top coaches that are coaching basketball in the NCAA, Calipari and Coach O with Duke, there's just the amount of money that they're making. It's ridiculous. And for guys like you mentioned, Williamson at Duke, and the top end guys, they're going to get their money. You know, they're going to get drafted first overall or in the first round. They're going to get sponsorships. They're going to get a huge contract in the NBA. So it's not like we're feeling bad for them or anything, but it's the other guys that you mentioned when we first talked about it. You know, it's the guys who are trying to keep their, you know, professional careers, their sports careers going. And, you know, they can't because they're not getting any money, but yet they're playing in a game that's broadcasted on ESPN. That's making ESPN loads and loads of money. So it's completely unfair. It's been a problem. And this rule is still, you mentioned that rule, but I don't even think it is like officially in play. Do you know if it is?
I think
they were voting on it.
I think it's like still iffy, it's kind of in the air, but I think that it'll be able, you will be able to sell things on your own. So like if you sign a jersey, but I still think the player should be getting some sort of paycheck. I understand that they're a student athlete, and that they get a nice track suit and they get, and a lot of them get to go to college for free. But it doesn't matter. So many of these guys come from homes like LeBron James. He didn't have money growing up, which is, you know, I'm sure one of the reasons why he did not go to college. He went straight to the NBA. So a lot of these guys come from that. They don't have money. They have single parent homes. They're paycheck to paycheck, and they're working for this industry for 4 years, and they make $0.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah, it's been something that's been talked about. We were gonna, another big topic is like you kind of just touched on there was, you know, guys in the NBA or in college basketball, you know, not going to the NCAA, right? They go through other routes to make the NBA, whether that be through the G League, or like you said, I mean, if you're good enough as LeBron James or some others to go right out of high school, you know, you would do that. It's different for every athlete, but like you said, there's so many athletes that come from, you know, single parent homes, that come from, you know, poor households or poor neighborhoods, that NCAA should implement a paycheck and should be paying their players that they are profiting a ridiculous amount of money.
Billions and billions. Right. And then with you know, I want to touch on players not going to college. LaMelo Ball wasn't allowed to, I think because of the Big Baller Brand stuff.
Yeah.
So he went overseas, and I think that probably helped him in his career, because he got to play with, you know, maybe they're not NBA levels, but they are professional athletes. Yeah. They are grown adults. You're not getting caught up in the college life. You're playing overseas in a country that you don't even speak the language in some of these guys. So they're not going out partying every night. They're focusing on their sports, and they are making money, I'm pretty sure. So.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's, again, you know, there's different avenues for players to come, and everybody looks at the NCAA and it's just so huge, but that's not the only way you can get into professional sports. And if you look at other sports, you can see, I mean, in hockey, of course, it's a lot of Canadian players as well. But they're not always through college. They're through junior professional leagues. So like you said, international professional leagues for basketball. I think this also goes to our talk with Coach Falls last week. Why football is going to struggle to get this is because there really isn't anything other than NCAA football in America. And he said that too, like even when he was talking to us, when he was playing in Austria, he said, have you ever even heard of the international Canadian football team? Right. Like the, you know, other, like the NCAA has such a stronghold on the football side of things. But if you look at basketball, I think it's taking a little bit of a turn and for good too. LaMelo Ball, I agree with you. I think it helped them out completely getting that other experience and not being in the NCAA. So,
right.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's not the only route. It's a big topic. We could obviously delve really, you know, deep into it. The bottom line is obviously that they should be paying their athletes for what they're getting out of their athletes. So I think we can both agree on that, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's just crazy as they embark on another season, another basketball season, and another football season that is really, really rocky. Right now, the basketball season is going to be rocky too, but that's what money will do for you. And that's the concept that we're driving through about the NCAA. As we will shift towards a little bit of an extension of our GOAT talk. We had a little talk a few weeks ago, if you were listening, about who we thought maybe some of the more underrated players were. I loved your answer. You mentioned Steve Largent as one of the more underrated receivers in the NFL. You gave some love, I believe, for Aaron Rodgers too. Maybe putting him a little bit too high, but that was the argument we had that episode today. What we are going to focus on are some of the best siblings or best brother duos to play across sports. If you want to lead us off, Jacqueline, with who you are thinking or who you most enjoyed, I guess, watching. There's obviously an obvious one being that you're a Giants fan.
Yeah, of course. So starting off, the Manning brothers, of course. They both have two Super Bowl wins. Combined 18 Pro Bowls. Peyton has 14, Eli has 4. You know, Peyton is the best brother, of course. But Eli, I think, is still a Hall of Famer as well.
That's another debate.
It's a whole nother debate. Yeah. I just think that they are the best brothers. I think their father was a quarterback in the NFL, and then you get Peyton, and then you get Eli, both, I think, stars in the league. And I think that they really win of best brothers in sports, just really classy guys, really respected guys, smart players. So I do think that they are the best brothers, but then I do have another one, but I want to let you pick one of yours.
Yeah, we'll hold off on that. There's not much to argue, obviously, with there. Peyton Manning and Eli Manning, probably one of the best brothers, siblings to ever compete in the same sport. Just absolutely crazy. It was always cool to see Eli watching Peyton's last couple Super Bowls with Denver as well. That was cool to see him up in the box. They're great. And Archie Manning, you touched on their father as well. I'm going to go with another. There's a lot of different siblings that I've thought about. I could have said Powell and Marc Gasol. Marc Gasol obviously helped the Raptors and bring us a championship here. But I'm going to go to two more football guys, Jim and John Harbaugh, the two coaches who coached against each other in the Super Bowl. This was, I think, maybe 8 years ago now. It was Super Bowl 47. Mm-hmm. Super cool. Jim Harbaugh himself, who's now coaching Michigan. He used to coach the 49ers. He's coaching Michigan now. He was also a quarterback in the NFL. He played for the Colts, was a Pro Bowler as well back in the 90s.
I didn't know this.
He was, he led the Colts in a comeback in the 95 championship game and was a Pro Bowler that year, just 1 year. But still, then went on to coach. And John Harbaugh, he's led the Baltimore Ravens, I think, for about 12, 13 years, maybe even longer. One of the longest tenured coaches in the NFL. I think, and he won that Super Bowl with Joe Flacco. I think that those two brothers have always been, it was really cool to see them in the Super Bowl. And they just obviously had a lot of football experience and two really smart brothers, Super Bowl coaches, of course. Another one that I'll mention, I'll throw back to you, but also in football, the Watt brothers, TJ Watt.
I was about to say that.
Is that, did I steal what you
said? That was mine. I have the three brothers, JJ, TJ, and Derek. Derek, I don't know if I'd put them with TJ and JJ. JJ is a defensive end. TJ is a linebacker. Derek is a fullback. I'm sure their parents must be very, very proud. All three of their sons are NFL players. So as of now, TJ and JJ have a combined 7 Pro Bowls. That's just as of now. I think TJ will possibly be better than JJ. As of now, he's a star. Sure. It's possible defensive player of the year. He should have won it. I think it was last year. A year or two ago, I remember he got snubbed, or maybe it was defensive rookie of the year. So he,
rookie of the year.
I think they are the best brothers, really classy guys. JJ is one of my favorite players just because of the kind of guy he is on and off of the field. I just think that they're both beasts and they're both really scary to play against. I think TJ and JJ will be Hall of Famers.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, TJ Watt is following a very similar trajectory to his brother. Like you said, yeah, the parents of the Watt brothers, I mean, wow, they produced three like angry and like just the positions too, right? Like outside linebacker, defensive end. So two guys who rush the passer and are just beasts in JJ and TJ. And then a big fullback. I mean, Derek's is a strong big
Yeah.
fullback. I think he had the most bench press reps when he was back at the combine a few years ago. So yeah, like just the Watt brothers are beasts. So that was cool. I don't know if you saw. They also hosted, they're getting a little bit into entertainment. They hosted a show on NBC this past
Yeah.
summer too. So, you know, they're obviously gaining a lot of notoriety as well. A couple others that you know, I could mention here. Obviously Henrik and Daniel Sedin, that's an obvious one, hockey wise. And then from tennis, of course, Serena Williams and her sister as well. They've just dominated all, you know, their whole career. So
Right, for sure.
it's pretty cool to see them also play against each other as well. That's, I think, the coolest thing about this whole topic is a lot of these players, at least that we've touched on, were playing at the same time. Pau and Marc Gasol, Peyton and Eli Manning, Serena and Venus Williams, and these Watt brothers as well. TJ and Derek are both on Pittsburgh, both on the same team now.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's pretty cool. It's a little segment that we're probably going to keep going as we continue with this podcast. You know, just touching on some of our, you know, favorite moments and some of the better brothers or better, more underrated receivers, something like that. We'll keep that going throughout. As we'll end it with some picks, as we always do here on the podcast. So I said I was going to keep track of this, and we'll have a scoreboard. So 11-4, I went last week. 10-5. You went last week. The only game we differentiated on, if you remember, was that Colts and Titans game. Derrick
Right.
Henry looks like an MVP, and Derrick Henry beat Tennessee and the
Such a
Colts.
beast.
Yeah, such a beast. Total though, I'm 23-20 on the year. You're 21-22 on the year, Jacqueline. So that's not including the Pittsburgh and Baltimore game, but pretty close. Pretty
Right.
close. So let's go through our week 13 picks. Real quick here, like I said, Pittsburgh and Baltimore are playing in about half hour here to end week 12, but let's get through the week 13 picks here real quick. So we'll start off the bat with Saints and the Falcons. I'm going to go with the Saints here, just better team than the Falcons.
Is Drew Brees back or no? Not yet.
I don't know if Drew Brees is back. I don't think he is. I think he's still going to be off for another week, but
Right, because they played last week and they got the Falcons Saints and
the
they lost
Falcons.
20, 23 to 9, but then they crushed the Raiders
Yeah.
this past Sunday. I don't know. I think I'm probably gonna go with the Saints as well, but I do feel like it will be a close game.
Yeah, it definitely will be a divisional game, so it could be close. Keep moving on here. We got the Browns and the Titans. This is one of the better games of the week. 2-8-3 teams. The Browns are 8-3. Don't look now, but they're 8-3. I still don't trust them. They almost lost to the Jags. They looked actually pretty bad against the Jags, which is what I was watching for. I think the Titans win this game.
I agree. Honestly, I think the Browns are extremely, extremely, extremely overrated. They've had a super easy schedule. I think the Titans are gonna blow them out in this one.
Wow.
Next, Lions Bears. I don't know what the Lions what their whole deal is, but the Bears are also extremely, extremely bad, especially if Trubisky's playing. I honestly don't know. I'll probably go with the. I don't know. I feel like that the Lions are going to figure out this week because they've had really bad the past
Yeah.
2 weeks. I'm probably going to go with the Lions and on this one.
All right, I'm gonna go with the Bears on this one. The Lions, they had just fired their coach, like you said. I have no idea what's going on there. I think it was a good move firing their coach, but I think the Bears will be able to win this one. They kind of need to win it. I think they do. Bengals and the Dolphins. I don't know if Tua will be playing. It might be Fitzpatrick. It might be Tua. I don't think it matters. Dolphins is who I got.
Dolphins, yeah.
Dolphins,
Pretty
yeah, for
simple.
sure. Jags and the Vikings. We have announced that we're going to be starting Mike Glennon again at quarterback, and Gardner Minshew is healthy. It's not that Minshew is not healthy. It's just that we don't know. We don't care what we do at quarterback, I guess, anymore. We're just rotating it every week.
Yeah.
So whatever. No matter who's playing, the Jaguars will lose for the 11th straight time.
I think I agree as well. Vikings have to win all of their next
they do.
Few games. I think they had a big comeback against the Panthers last week, last Sunday.
Yeah.
And I think they are really good, but Dalvin Cook had a bad game, so I hope he can pick it up, and I think they'll win big. Colts Texans are actually very good. I think they're extremely underrated because they've had such a hard schedule. But the Colts looked pretty bad last week. I think I like Houston in this one.
Wow, that would be an upset for sure. Yeah, there's a lot of talk about the Texans when they beat the Lions last week about how they're looking a lot better. Deshaun Watson over the last six games or so is looking like an MVP. I think he's got 15 touchdowns to zero interceptions since the beginning of October. He's looked really, really good. Their schedule is a little bit light in the next couple of games, so they could make a little bit of noise, but I think the Colts will win this one. The Colts still just inconsistent. I mean, they beat the Packers 2 weeks ago, and then they don't look too good and lose to the Titans after they beat the Titans on Thursday night a few weeks back too. I haven't figured out the Colts, but I think they win this one. As Raiders and Jets is the other one here. I'm going to pick the Jets here.
Really?
Surprisingly. Yeah. You know, for no real reason other than I think the Jets will be able to pull this off. The Raiders lost 43-6 last week. Derek Carr didn't look too good. It's not that I have much faith in the Jets. Their offense is terrible. But I'm going to pick them here, and I'm hoping that they can win. I need them to win.
Yeah, I think the Raiders will win. Because the Raiders are also very in, you know, they beat the Chiefs a couple weeks ago. Then they lost to the Chiefs just by 4 points, I believe, 2 weeks ago. And they get blown out last week by the Falcons. I feel like they're going to have a Brady moment and bounce back the next game.
But they should win for sure.
Yeah, they really should. So I think I'm going to go with the Raiders. And then, so Giants, Seahawks. I have the Giants winning, of course.
Yeah, well, I don't think that's going to happen. I think the Seahawks will win, even if Daniel Jones is playing. You know, the Seahawks defense is still struggling. It's still not looking too well, but Russell Wilson. And if the Giants defense plays a really good game, I think that this will be pretty close. But the Seahawks still will be able to pull it out. You will go with your Giants, though, of course. Next one.
Of course.
Rams and the Cardinals.
Ooh.
A big, big game here. For both of these teams, the Cardinals surprisingly lost last week to the Patriots.
Yeah, and Rams as well to the 49ers. Both, I guess, upsets or just both losses that I was not expecting. This really is about which team is going to bounce back, and I think the Cardinals have to. I think they're a more talented team. It will be Jalen Ramsey against DeAndre Hopkins in this game, but I think I like the Cardinals.
I think Ramsey will hold DeAndre Hopkins as he has throughout his career. This was a matchup that I watched a lot too. They were both, the Hopkins was on the Texans, Ramsey was on the Jags. So this is a matchup that's happened a lot throughout both of their careers. I'm going to go with the Rams. I've talked about how much I've liked the Rams. I still do like the Rams. The reason they didn't win last week is because they weren't able to get that offense going. Like I said, they really, you know, they need to get Kupp and Woods involved like they did in that game on Monday night against the Bucks. They weren't able to last week. They weren't able to get the run game going. I think they'll find some success against the Arizona Cardinals in their defense, though, this week. I'll go with the Rams. Patriots and Chargers next up here. The Chargers just look dead in the water. Anthony Lynn, I think he's going to be fired. And I'm going to pick the Patriots here. They need this one for sure.
I think I'm going to go with the Patriots as well, but I think it will be a high-scoring game, and it will be a very close game as well. So if you're betting on the spread, I think it'll be very close. Eagles-Packers, not much to say. Packers are going to win this, I think. Wentz is one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL right now. He has 15 interceptions, most in the NFL. 46 sacks, most in the NFL, and 95 off-target incompletions, most in the NFL as well.
Kill him with the stats.
Killing him with that. And I think it is due to injuries, but I think Packers will be getting a big win. Broncos Chiefs. So I think you would agree with me there, right?
Yep.
Okay. Broncos Chiefs. I think Chiefs are going to have a really big game. I don't know if the quarterbacks are back. Oh, no, I think they are. Drew Lock will be back playing, but Chiefs are their best that they've ever been. So I think they're going to win big.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there. Chiefs, Packers, the Eagles and the Broncos look just absolutely terrible. The Eagles might be worse than the Broncos. That's the sad part. But regardless, I agree with you on both of those. Two Monday night games on the schedule, Washington and Pittsburgh. I'm going to go Pittsburgh. I'm sure you'll agree with me on that.
I'm going to go, Pittsburgh.
I cannot see Ali, and I'm worried about Alex Smith in this game with TJ Watt and Bud Dupree and Pittsburgh running after him. That Steelers defense is, they're going to have a day, I think, against Washington. Yeah. The true Monday night game is a pretty fun one. I'm actually really excited for this one. Bills and 49ers in Arizona as San Francisco.
Yes, in Arizona.
San Francisco not allowed to play in their home stadium due to the laws in California, so that'll be in Arizona. I'm gonna go with the Bills here. I still do like the Bills. I've been talking high about the Bills for a couple weeks. I still do like them. They were able to put together a solid win last week, and I think they keep rolling here and go to 9-3.
I'm gonna agree with you on that one with the Bills. And Tuesday night we have a game because it's supposed to be tomorrow night, this Cowboys Ravens, but moved to Tuesday night football. I love that we have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday,
or Wednesday today. Wednesday.
Yeah, I love that. I'm gonna go with the Ravens, of course, just because I can't pick the Cowboys, and I do think the Ravens will get the win.
So you pick the Giants and you pick against the Eagles and the football team and the Cowboys. Yeah.
I have to.
Of course. Yes. But I'm not going to disagree with you there. Cause I think I did the same thing. Well, I didn't pick the Giants, but other than that, I'm going to agree with you. The Ravens are going to beat the Cowboys. Cowboys didn't look good at all on Thanksgiving. So I don't think Dalton is able to find any success here. And the Cowboys will lose another one. But that does it for our picks there for week 13. Again, Steelers and the Ravens, when you listen to this, that game will be over. But as we record this, just about 20 minutes before they start. I thought it was a good talk today about some NCAA, just the like I said, the exploitation I think that the league puts on the players. And a little bit of talk about the kicker at Vanderbilt. No interview today. It was just us two. We're planning on getting an interview probably for next week, delve into a couple of other topics. But that was probably going to do it for that. Do you have anything else you wanted to touch on, Jacqueline?
No, I think that's good. I do want to touch maybe for next couple of weeks more on college athletes. I want to do more research on that. Hopefully they'll be coming out with more things on if they're going to be paying them and whatnot, because I'm very passionate about that story. I remember watching the film and it really inspired me to, you know, try to as a filmmaker, as a aspiring filmmaker, as I'm a film studies student, I really want to work on projects with student athletes and really do something similar to this and really learn about these college athletes who, you know, had an injury and then they're gone from sports. So I think that I do want to talk more on that because I am very passionate about that. I think that's about it. Maybe Jake Paul might have a new fight coming up by next week, or he'll say something to McGregor or Mayweather and they're going to want to fight him.
Yeah. I mean, I would be perfectly fine if Jake Paul is out of the news cycle, for a while now. I've heard enough about Jake Paul over the last couple of days. I'd be fine if he takes a break a little bit, just celebrate your knockout over Nate and be happy with that. But that's how we will leave you here. Like Jacqueline is saying, student athlete, I haven't seen it. I am going to probably watch that later tonight, probably. That's what we'll leave you guys with, a recommendation there. Like you're saying, Jacqueline, it sounds like a great movie from what you're explaining. And it really goes through what we sort of touched on today, in a topic that we'll obviously touch on more and more about. you know, NCAA athletes and how they are paid. But that is how we will leave you here on episode 4 of Hawks Huddle. We will be back same place, same time next week. Jacqueline, thanks for joining me, and thanks for listening on Radio Laureate and YouTube.
Thanks, guys. Bye.